When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Were you disturbed to hear Bears OC Shane Waldron double down on the Doug Kramer handoff at the goal line?
Like I said, I felt confident in the moment in that call, and it didn't work out.
What will you do if they do try that once again?
Oh, I'm jumping. I don't know what one can do, but I would probably, if they tried that again, like in the same situation in a game where they were trailing the whole bloody game and they get down to the fourth quarter, you get to the goal line and you try to get cute, I think and it's only 1 yard. You fumbled the ball. I think I would probably call for mass resignation. Just, I would not want anyone fired. I don't believe in that. I'm not the coach killer here amongst the three of us. But I would definitely expect someone to publicly resign.
I will resign as a Bears fan if in this calendar season, in this stretch, that play is run again with the Bears trailing. So if the Bears are losing the game and they call on the mini fridge to hand off the ball, I personally want him as fullback. I want him as the fullback. I like that. It's worked. But if they hand him the ball when they are trailing in a game during this season, I will resign as a Bears fan. Mm.
I am done with the mini fridge. I like Doug Kramer as a player. I would unplug the mini fridge.
Wouldn't even use him as a blocker?
No, not now.
Why not?
Because I think that you now have removed the
too much temptation.
Hold on. What you do when you put him back there is that you create the illusion that he could carry the ball or he could throw it to him. Mm-hmm. It's fun when you have the novelty. It's no longer a novelty. The element of surprise is missing because there's no way they're ever going to hand the ball to him. So you now have a tendency. You know exactly what's coming. You don't have to worry about that. Not that that's a big thing, but you have removed that play from your playbook because you couldn't execute it and you never should have tried. So that's why I'm down on it. That's why I would eliminate it. Bring back Kerry Blassen game. Let guys do their jobs that are supposed to do their jobs. Doug Kramer, not a fullback. Clever, cute, fun. It's over. So I think you move on. Here's the thing that we have to remember with Shane Waldron. This was something he had days to consider. The Bears are creating this story and lengthening its shelf life because they chose to put him there on a Thursday. We're talking about it on Friday morning still because of their lack of knowledge and awareness themselves organizationally.
Yes.
We have a stunning lack of awareness by the offensive coordinator working in a building where there's a stunning lack of awareness of how to handle and shape the optics. Get a clue, guys.
I found hope within what you're saying. Do you believe that they want to keep that role alive in terms of him as a blocking back? And that's why Shane Waldron is claiming, oh, we could hand it off to him. And when in reality, he has no intention to, but he doesn't want teams to know what you just said.
Probably so. Probably so.
That makes me feel better about
but
the guy.
It's even coming, that gamesmanship is coming at the expense of credibility. And I think this week, credibility is more important than gamesmanship.
Oh, boy, that's a tough question.
And they lost it.
Was the overall injury news positive or negative for the Bears? Can Montez Sweat's availability outweigh the offensive line's instability?
Well, I hope so for the Bears' sake. Montez Sweat being back in a limited fashion gives you hope that he can be there. He is the most important guy when you're talking about a banged up and disciplined secondary. And Kyler Murray on a little bit of a roll. You need Montez Sweat to keep contained, to get to the quarterback. PFF, you mentioned those metrics earlier in the show. They have Montez Sweat. He's one of the top five pass rushers in football right now. That's a multiplier. So maybe he can wreck this game, but I fear that the offensive line's instability without Tevin Jenkins looks like he's banged up. They don't have Braxton Jones. Larry Borum is coming back, but what does that mean? What shape is he in? I don't know. I think this is going to be a game dictated by the Bears' offensive line instability, and that might outweigh Montez Sweat's availability. So I hope I'm wrong, but that's the fear that I have.
I'm very afraid of the Bears' offensive line this week, and it might have a role in my selection of this game. It's great news that Montez Sweat's back out there. I didn't doubt that Montez Sweat would be back out. He doesn't need to practice. He just needs to get out there and play, put his hand in the dirt, and go get the other quarterback. That's what his job is, hold the edge. But the offensive line's instability, as the question states, is very concerning.
Yeah, I agree that it's concerning. I do believe, though, and I mean, I got to be careful how I say this. I remember for years the Bears had like all sorts of problems with safeties. They would have different safeties and guys were getting hurt. They were rolling guys. And they had a game where they had two backup safeties. And honest to God, they played better than the starters. And I think that when, you know, there is always a hierarchy to teams, but I think Matt Pryor has been a better guard than Nate Davis. And I think Matt Pryor will probably be the left tackle if indeed you can't go with Braxton Jones. So I guess the point I'm making, and now you got to be careful, I don't know how big the difference is between some of these guys. I think that if Montez Sweat can't go, the next best player is miles worse than him, that you're not nearly as good. He is the multiplier. I don't think any of these guys we're talking about are multipliers necessarily. I think there's some solid linemen who could be replaced by solid linemen. I'm not sure you're going to notice as big a drop-off. And the way that offensive line play works, it's a team within a team, and guys can help each other, and they can work together. And part of the teamwork aspect of it is what makes lines better than individual players are. So the fact that they haven't played together is a little scary. But if Larry Borum is able to go, if Nate Davis is inspired in any way, he's a good enough player to step in and play. I still think that Tevin Jenkins might be able to start, but I don't think he'll be able to finish. But I think Sweat is the big story here because there's no one like him on the roster. So if you get him back, the drop-off isn't nearly as bad. I'd rather a injured Montez Sweat than a fully healthy backup. But at the offensive line positions, I don't know how good the top shelf guys are that the second level might not be able to replace them. We've already seen it happen.
I don't know. That's a tricky question.
What did you make of our guy Dan Weider tweeting the following? This from X. From what I understand, it will not be a surprise if Tyreek Stevenson does not start in Arizona. Signs seem to be pointing in that direction. End of tweet. Is this a sensible move?
It's pretty much one of the few things you almost have to do. I felt a sense of relief when I read that tweet. I really did. I think that you cannot ignore what happened. And you can't pretend, well, we had a talk with him. Well, one of the captains said something. And, you know, we talked to the council. And everyone decided that we need him and we love him. And he's going to be with us for a long time. That's all fair and well. But you got to respond to what happened. And at the very minimum, you got to bench the guy to start the game. I think we talked about this earlier in the week. You know, there are more, you know, we went back and forth. There are certainly more severe punishments. But at a bare minimum, you need to acknowledge what he did. And you need to do so with some form of punishment. And it has to be public because everybody needs to know. The whole team needs to know. The whole league needs to know that you're a serious football team, you take it seriously, and there are consequences for actions.
Well, I think Dick Tracy is on the case here. Yes, I think this is what's going to happen. They are going to do that. And to your point, Mully, it's the bare minimum of what they need to do. I hope it's not, like we've seen this before, like in colleges sometimes, I hope it's not the token, like one snap.
I hope not.
Right? It can't be.
That would be nonsense.
It can't be one snap, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's in the game. Now, I think this would be interesting. If we can all agree that they need him, and we've heard all his teammates say they need him, and I think deep down, if we're really forced to admit it, they need him on Sunday because they're missing. Gordon's not making a miraculous, you know, no. He's not making a miraculous recovery. They also don't have Brisker. They play different positions, but they need him. Okay. So we have to see him play. Now, the question is, I think for all of us and our listeners and our texters is, okay, what is it? Is it a quarter? Is it a series? Is it a snap or is it a half? I think those are probably the four options. A snap, a series, a quarter,
minimum,
or a half.
Series, minimum.
I think that's the question. I think Bears fans, where do you fall? If those are your four options,
quarter,
I know we're not big on polls here.
Okay.
I know we're not big on polls here, but I think that's an interesting four options. And I think one of those four things has to happen. And for me, I'll answer my own question. It's a series. He does not play the first time Arizona has the ball at all. Now, some would argue, well, if they get a first down, you know, if they don't go three and out, you put him in then.
All overstating Tyrique Stevenson's value on a defense that is still very good without him.
But it's not, I would agree with you, David, if it was 100% healthy, but they're not.
I think that what Matt Eberflus is looking at as a head coach, his credibility is at more risk of suffering and being damaged than the Bears' defense is without Tyrique Stevenson. And without action, Matt Eberflus's credibility, accountability, word of the week, is in danger of being in a state of disrepair. And I think the defense can still function at a high level with Terrell Smith replacing Tyrique Stevenson. The drop-off isn't that great. And I don't think that you need to go into this game with one series, one quarter. No. Right now, Tyrique Stevenson, because of this week, because of what happened last week, lost his starting job. His starting job is now Terrell Smith's. And that Terrell Smith is the starter against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. And Tyrique Stevenson plays if somebody gets injured. Tyrique Stevenson plays if there's a six defensive back package. Tyrique Stevenson plays on special teams. But he's not starter. He's not part of the starting defense, and he doesn't go in there after a play or a series because that looks too symbolic and really high schoolish. If you're going to make a statement, make a statement. Don't be wishy-washy. Flusie will be wishy-washy. It's probably going to be a series or a quarter, but it shouldn't be. If I were Matt Eberflus, I would just follow this through to its logical conclusion to me. That is, he's a backup this week. Then we'll reevaluate depending on how Terrell Smith plays and how your defense functions. But Tyrique Stevenson did this to himself. Can they afford to miss him against the Cardinals? Can you afford not to do anything if you're Matt Eberflus? That's a bigger question.
There's a lot of questions in the air.
Ozzie, what stood out to you about the Will Venerable Zoom call introducing his new role as the White Sox manager, 44th in the franchise history? How difficult is that job, and how will you personally judge his success?
Will Venable came across as bright as we expected. I didn't remember him from his Cub experience because we don't necessarily talk to a lot of first base coaches. I wasn't doing Inside the Clubhouse when Will Venable was in town, so I didn't really know much about him. I like his pedigree. We talked about Theo Epstein hiring him, working alongside Joe Maddon, Alex Cora, and Bruce Bochy. He could not come with any more glowing recommendations and any more of an impressive kind of collection of mentors. This is a guy who's ready for this challenge at 42 years old, alongside 41-year-old Chris Getz, his partner and boss, the general manager of the White Sox. I think the Sox fans can finally find something about their manager that they're proud of. And that's what you heard yesterday. Will Venable giving you something, a source of pride and a vision, and maybe some things about his credentials that you think are encouraging. Massive job, huge challenge, a lot of things outside of his control. But you got the sense that whatever he can control, it's going to be handled intelligently.
He came across well. One quote that I picked out of the Zoom. That was the only problem I had with it. I don't like that they did a Zoom to start this off, but they could have waited. I have an underdog mentality and all the things that come with that, end quote. He's also been around a bunch of good people, David, as you pointed out. And if you can take a little bit of the good from all those different guys and also block out the bad, that things that didn't work with those guys, and bottle that, that could be a really successful thing. But Mully, you always say it, and you're right. A manager in baseball, especially, is worth 3 to 4 wins. Okay. Success next season would be to avoid the 100 loss. 99. That would, you don't lose 100. That should be the whiteboard when they walk in there in Mesa, Arizona. Don't lose 100. 100's in the rearview mirror. Eyes straight ahead. Forget about last year. They're not that talented on the field, but at least they could be professional. Don't boot the ball around. Run the bases right. Say the right things. Engage the fans. That would be a good start.
I really was impressed with the guy. I thought he was well spoken. I liked the stuff he said about Chicago. I thought that. That when I kind of was listening to the whole thing, I thought, you know, it was a pretty good hire. Like, this guy, people wanted this guy. They apparently started with 60, cut it to 20, then went to, I mean, really? I don't know. That's a bit much, in my opinion. But I'm glad they settled on this guy.
Wouldn't you love to know, though, like the 60 or 20? Any interest or not anymore?
It's over. No. Don't even care about the 5.
No?
I know who the 5 are.
I'd like to know why they didn't try to get guys with experience.
Yeah. Well, I think you do know the answer. I think that the general manager doesn't have experience, and he's looking for a partner. He's not looking for someone to mentor him. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it's that simple. And these guys are roughly the same age, and they kind of work together. I like that definition, Dustin. If they could somehow not lose 100 games, that'd be a raging success of a season. But I think the guy's going to do good. You know, here's the thing. It's player development, right? I want to see younger players get better as the year goes on. I want to see guys that look like they can play a little bit, and then they improve with this guy. I do. I want to see, like, different and better, number one. But I don't need you to go out and overwhelm me with your free agent signings. I need you to show me that you're getting better and that this guy can work with people and make them better. And I'm very curious to see a lot of the talk about the analytics and, you know, the idea that he has worked for a lot of different places that have done things a lot differently and have information at the fingertips of players a lot better than the White Sox have, would seemingly indicate that he's going to be, you know, when I was here, we used to do this. When I was over there, they had a good job of doing this. Like, I would hope that he can gather more information for the player, and that will help with player development.
Well, it's a great question, Molly.
That's the voice of Casey Johnson. If Zach LaVine has a sprained shoulder, as our guy Casey Johnson reported, should he play through any pain or take a seat and wait till he's at least 100%? Is what benefits Zach and what benefits the Bulls the same thing?
I like this question because it goes to the heart of what is the big topic right now in the league, which obviously, when you think about it, The $100,000 fine that Philadelphia got over whether or not they were forthright about Joel Embiid and the things they said about Joel Embiid. The league said in that they understand that Embiid is injured and does have an injury, but that the coaches and the general manager are not allowed, Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse are not allowed to say the things they said, like, we're not going to play him in any back-to-backs, and we need to worry about him being there for the playoffs. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who was telling me that his cousin was desperate to go see LeBron and Bronny play at the United Center. And I said, and the, apparently the tickets were very expensive when they looked into it. And I'm like, that game's at the end of the year. It's like in March or something. How do you know Bronny's still in the NBA? And how do you know they're going to be playing LeBron? Like, Dustin will tell you the time we went out with a group to see LeBron, and LeBron was this
no
was
show.
Back in Cleveland, well, and he opted out of the game.
To that point, there was a good column in the Philadelphia Inquirer, I think, yesterday about how ticket prices should be reduced.
I agree with that.
If Embiid isn't playing Sixers games.
Yeah, and that was one of the questions that one of the reporters asked Nick Nurse is, hey, how are the fans supposed to know what games to go to right. if you won't tell us when he's playing or when he isn't playing? I think it's a valid question, and I think that it's a valid problem for the league. But I think in this circumstance, it's about player management. And if everybody in the league is taking time off, I don't think a subluxation should be okay in terms of Zach LaVine playing. I'd probably sit him.
Yeah, I think you sit him, especially tonight. You're over 500 for the first time since 2022. No reason to push it. And I do think that what is best for Zach and the Bulls is the same thing at this point.
That's interesting. I'm not quite sure it is. I think the best thing for the Bulls might be for him to play through this. I think they want to win games. They sure are playing like they want to win games. Billy Donovan, first of all, a total aside, I didn't realize he didn't like the moniker Billy Ball. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's a good story in the Sun-Times, and he mentions that, and I was like,
well,
all right.
I'll knock it off.
Well, no, we both are like the kind of like a complimentary way.
Yeah.
Like Billy Ball, it's a style of play. It's distinguishable to the Bulls. And anyway, I think that the Bulls probably want Zach LaVine to keep shooting, keep playing, and grind through it because he's been good. He's off to a very good start. But I think the best thing for Zach might be to take a couple nights to make sure he's not playing through pain. He's going to have something that lingers. Because we know what happens when things linger. Maybe his agency gets involved, and then maybe all of a sudden he's on a three-week hiatus. And that, I think you want to rest him as much as he can. The Bulls are better with him than without him. I admire him for wanting to play through this, knowing the circumstances of this season, but he's just a total pro, wanting to go to work. The NBA does have a bigger problem on their hands when you look big picture. I hope that this is just a short-term thing with Zach.
You have to ask hard questions.
By Monday, do you expect Cody Bellinger will have opted out of his Cubs contract? How big of a priority is bringing Bellinger back? And how is your answer the same or different than it was last year at this very same time?
See all the names of the free agents who opted out? Everybody's expecting these big paydays. I don't know what kind of advice they're getting from their agents, but I get it. They want to test the open market. A lot of people are going to be waiting, I think, for months for deals to come through that aren't as big as they're expecting them to be. There's going to be some atrophy, I think, we'll talk free agent salaries, and this winter is going to be maybe a cold one for a lot of agents and free agents. I feel totally different about Cody Bellinger this offseason than I did last offseason. I thought last offseason it was a priority, and I think job one for Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins to bring back Cody Bellinger, and I don't feel that sense of urgency this year. I think if he goes, he goes. The Cubs have to change the complexion of their lineup. They have to get somebody that qualifies as a star. The biggest name on that list yesterday wasn't necessarily Cody Bellinger because it wasn't on it yet, and it won't be when he joins it. For me, the biggest name on that list, besides Juan Soto, which everybody understands is going to be a free agent, but Pete Alonso is on that list of free agents. So if you can change the look of your lineup, thanks for the memories, Cody, but I don't feel like this is one of those winters where you're going to be hitting refresh and wondering if he's opting in or signing with the Cubs or coming back.
David, I agree with you 100%. I think this year's totally different than last year. I think Cody was great for the Cubs at the time when they got him, and the Cubs were great for Cody when they signed him. It was kind of a match made in baseball heaven, if you will. They both helped each other significantly, and Cody got paid, but 18 home runs for 30, you know, just give or take, for $30 million, that's not cutting it. Pete Alonso, in the same amount of at-bats, I think hits 27 home runs instead of 18. which still, I mean, you know, if you're a corner position player in Major League Baseball, you know, if you're one of these kind of guys that are in these $25 to $35 million a year, you better be hitting a home run for every $1 million you're paid. In my opinion, that just should be like a base type of thing. And listen, I like Cody Bellinger. He did everything the Cubs asked him to do. You know, he moved from center to first. And you know, and then he played right field when they decided that Suzuki was no longer. You know, so I don't know where he wants to play. And if he's looking at the Cubs, maybe he sees himself as a center fielder. But that ship has sailed here because they have a young guy that only can play center field. So I don't even know if Cody wants to be here. I looked at a list, top 25 free agents for 2025. He checks in at number 11 on right. This list. You know who's four ahead of him? David and I's guy. Pete Alonso. Okay. That so again, if I can get Pete Alonso for about the same money per year, I'm going Pete Alonso at this point. It's just a change. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think that you answered that well, because I think that the answer to the question is that the guy is a first baseman and a DH, and he doesn't hit enough home runs to be that. So if he's going to opt out, I would say, you know, farewell, dear friend. And I would go with the rookie as the center fielder. I think that he grew into that role as the season went on, and he was really good by the end of the year. And I think that he's perfect for that spot. And that's the reality of baseball and moving forward, etc. So I don't dislike Cody Bellinger, and he had one great year here. But I think that's pretty costly, and I think you can do better. In terms of getting a power guy.
Fare thee well.
Yeah, fare thee well.
Your friend.
All right, we've got we got the extra point, and I think you know what it is. We're going to pick them. Woohoo! It's a pick 'em. We'll pick 'em. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.